Well, what do you know? What do you know? Isn't it wonderful? The more we know, the more that we know that we don't know. And the race just seems to be getting more frantic. So that just when we think we're getting somewhere, we're falling behind. That's just the way it is. You know, when we start off young, and boy, we start off running, don't we? It's hard to slow us down. The time has a way of doing that. And yet, as the passage of time keeps on going by, it seems like it's speeding up. You know, we just did this last year. That year went by so fast. And yet there were moments in it where we thought it would never end. Think of the stuff that's happened this last year in your life. Whew. Isn't that what you feel like when you come to the end of the year sometimes? Phew, this was tough. It's not going to get any easier, folks. But you know what? We can look forward with optimism to the future. That is a wonderful thing to know. We are not as other men. I'm not talking like the hypocrite did when he prayed, "I thank God that I am not as other men," like that hypocrite over there. I mean, like that publican over there. That's not what I'm talking about. But we have so much knowledge. We know so much. We're not know-it-alls, but we know a lot. And knowledge is a good thing, but it also carries with it a lot of responsibility, don't you think? The more you know, the more you're responsible for. Let me read a scripture here. Luke 21 and 15. "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." That's Luke 21 and 15. Who said that? And who is he talking to? "I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." That's quite a promise. We have so much knowledge. Shall we pray? Father, what is it? What is it that you would like for us to know today? For it has been a lifelong learning experience for me, and I don't know how it is for everybody else, but I just want to know more. And I want to learn more. And I want to be more useful. And I want to have an effect. I want to make a difference, Lord, in the lives that I touch. I don't have any resolutions, Lord. I just have a desire in my heart to help. There are folks that need help here today. They need help in their spirit. They need help in the fact that they may need healing in their body. They may need financial assistance. There may be turmoil. There may be things this year that we're going to have to face that if unless you prepare us for it, unless you give us the strength, we won't make it through it. So we need you, Lord, like we've never needed you before. As the day approaches of your return, may we make ourselves ready. In Jesus' name, amen. John 8 and 32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now it says in the book of Daniel that in the last days knowledge would be increased. The knowledge that needs to be increased is our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know him, and we need to know him better than we've ever known him before. I do not want to hear from the lips of my Savior, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I want him to greet me with open arms, don't you? And the time of his coming and appearing shall be sudden. Are you ready? Let me read you some things from the pen of somebody who knew him very well. He's got some things to say to us. 1 John, beginning at chapter 1, verse 1, if you want to follow along. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. The more you know him, the more joy you will have. The closer you draw to him, the closer he will draw to you. We want to have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to know him like we've never known him before. This is the message, says John, continuing, which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Do you know what light is? It's knowledge. He is light. He wants you to know more and more and more about him, and he wants you to know him like you've never known him before. And he is available to us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? For he invites us to come. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now that doesn't mean I will make you lazy. Oh no, because the busiest people I know are Christian people. Amen? Now, I will give you rest. But it says here, he is, if we walk in the light, this is the message that we heard and declare to you, that in God, that God is light and that in him is no darkness at all. For if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Okay, and do not practice the truth. If we profess Christianity and we live like the devil, we're liars. That's what he's talking about. There is a need for good works in the church. We were talking about legalism and we were talking about works. You know, just about every movement I know has legalists in it. Somehow, some people think that the Seventh-day Adventist church is infested with legalism and that their church is exempt. But I think that if we don't watch ourselves, we could have a legalistic church. And there have been times in my life that I have been very legalistic. I remember belonging to a church, and it was called the United Pentecostal Church, and if you cut your hair, ladies, you were lost. Yes, you wore jewelry and makeup, you were lost. If you had your skirt above the knee, There's all kinds of rules and regulations out there, and there's nothing wrong with rules and regulations and guidelines. Let me not, because the Bible is full of guidelines. It shows you, if you really are interested in doing the Christian thing and living the Christian life, it will show you how to dress, how to act, how to walk, how to talk. All you have to have is a cultivated, obedient heart. And that's between you and the Lord. I can't get up here and dictate you how you should wear, what you should wear, how you should look. That's between you and the Lord. But you do need to cultivate an obedient heart. Because we have all this knowledge. we know better, or we should know better, than our neighbors as how to conduct ourselves in public. Shouldn't we? If we say, listen to this, no, not on that, let's go back here, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That means we're not standing around judging, pointing our fingers at each other. Oh, look at you, look at you, look at you. You're not right, you're not right, you're not right. That's not what we do. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we all work together for each other's common benefit, because we love one another, we will show in our own lives the way to live Christ. And others, because of our good attitudes, will want to imitate our behavior. But if we go around like this, people will want to get away from us. Don't you want to get away from somebody that's always criticizing and pointing their finger and saying you're doing this wrong and that wrong? Doesn't that really grate on your nerves? You have the Bible, you have the Holy Spirit. Read it for yourself and do so accordingly. Is that fair? Okay. If we say we have no sin, verse 8 goes on to say, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I'm not perfect. Oh, believe that. Do you really believe that I'm not perfect? Yeah, I believe I'm not perfect. Not a bad person, I suppose, but that doesn't get me anywhere, does it? For our righteousness is as filthy rags. If we confess our sins, verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's pretty good, isn't he? Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that I don't have to be perfect, but I can at least try? We have no excuse not to try to keep the Ten Commandments. To try to do the right thing, to endeavor to strive to be the best that we can be. Is that legalism, folks? No. It's just reasonable. If I love him, I will have that space in my heart to obey him. Yes, if he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, I don't have to have an attitude and say, well, I don't have to keep that day. I can go in. I can have Sabbath all week long. Every day is a Sabbath day to me. I've heard people say that. Do they not work all week? If every day is a Sabbath to you, you wouldn't work all week, would you? You'd do nothing. Sit around, sing hymns. But there is a special day that he says to remember. And if we love him, we obey his commandments, don't we? It's a question of your attitude, folks. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, chapter 2 goes on to say this. I love it, taking it right out of the Bible, filling it with Jesus. It's got to be centered around Jesus. Don't you agree? And John was a very close friend, knew him intimately, leaned on his breast at dinner. He says, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. That's why the whole Bible was written, so that we may not sin. That's why Jesus died, so that we will not sin, that if we do, he would cleanse us from all unrighteousness, he would forgive us. He says, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin, and that if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. How can we live a Christian life? We can't live it without Jesus. He gives us the power to obey and to do the right thing, don't you agree? Without him, we can do nothing. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Now, did I say that? Is that one of the 28 doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? That Jesus, in his word, had John pen them, and that's in the Bible, and he who says, I know him, and then does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Bible, do you love the Bible? Do you love what the Word says? Then don't be a liar. Goes for me too. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Try your best, folks. Don't get lazy in your Christian walk. It says, well, I don't have to do nothing. You know, a lot of people think they're do-nothing Christians, and they do nothing. They don't do anything. But you have to do, you have to show what you are. And what you are speaks so loud that the world can't hear what you say. They're looking at your walk, not listening to your talk. They'll judge you by your actions every day. They don't believe you'll deceive by proclaiming what you've never known. He is the one that's going to show in your life. You're going to show Christ or you're going to show something else, aren't you? To live is Christ. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. I'm still not legal. This is not legalism yet, is it? Okay. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which is what you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Isn't that nice? He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. So there's more to this shining for Jesus than just doing good things. There's more to it. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And here is where John gets really poetic. I want you to hear these words. I want you to get it. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. For his name's sake, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I like the word, because John used the words knowledge and known, and you know a lot in this Bible. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world. Here's what he wants you to hear. Or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. You need to hear that. The world is passing away. And the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We can do it. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that this is the last hour. Wow. Almost 2,000 years ago, he said, this is the last hour. How much closer are we today? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. There's that word, know. Do you know? And you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Now, Sister Wilhelmina was talking to the children about the Trinity, about the Godhead, about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you deny any of them, you are a liar. Jesus is the Christ. Who denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise that He has promised us. Eternal life. You want eternal life? You don't already have it, you know. It's not automatic. You have to come to Christ. You have to have your sins forgiven. You need to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And then He promises you eternal life. I want it, don't you? These things that I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it's taught you will abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him. Let me read this to you. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us. There's that word know again. Try to pick out that word know whenever you hear it read here. Because it did not know Him. Beloved, now are we the children of God. And it has not been revealed yet what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifieth himself, just as He is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. What is lawlessness? That is not believing in the law. Rejecting the law. Lawlessness is not acceptable in God's eyes. So how does one become lawful? By being obedient to the Word. And that's truly being set free. Because if you're within the safety of the law, you are truly free. But if you are lawless, then you are bound by sin. We want to be set free from sin, don't we? Amen. Whoever commits sin, and you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor knows Him. There's that word know again. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Does that mean we never ever sin? We do not habitually sin. We are not bound by sin. We may make mistake. We may forget to do something that we should have done. We may actually do wrong. But remember, we have an advocate with the Father that we can make it right. When we do wrong and we realize we've done wrong, we can repent and we can have His blood cleanse us from sin. We needn't give up every time we goof up. Have you ever felt that way? Man, I just keep goofing up. I just keep making mistakes. I just can't seem to get it right. And the more I know, the more I transgress. And Paul was frustrated and he said, who can deliver me from this? But it's Jesus Christ, our Lord. He has the solution to every problem that you have. He has the answer. If you can form the question, He's got the answer to it. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Oh, oh, oh. There's a hook in there. Love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So the key word is to become in love with God. If you love Jesus, then you love your brother and your sister. And isn't that what keeping the commandments is? How not to sin or to hurt your brother or your sister or to offend God? If you love God, you won't offend him. You won't do that which is contrary to his word. You will try your best to be an obedient servant, and you will not do things that will hurt your brother or sister. So you'll be looking out for the benefit of your brother and your sister and not being so self-centered and selfish that you want everybody to bow down to you and do what you want and do it your way. And you understand what I'm saying. Love is not selfish. Love gives. Love does not expect reward. Love is good for its own sake. You love and you don't worry about getting it back because it'll just come back. It may not come from the source you might have thought it should have come from, but it does come back. You give because you love. Jesus loved us, so he gave. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. So the spirit of giving is the spirit of love. It is an unselfish thing. You don't look for what is in it for you. You look for what you can do to help your brother or sister along. My resolution for this year is to be helpful, to be more helpful than I've ever been, to care more, to love more, to do more, and to not think about me so much. And that's hard to do because we are so self-centered. I am, I'm sorry. Maybe you aren't. But gosh, every day I got to look in that mirror. Check it out. Make sure everything's okay. Every hair in place. Make sure I got every whisker because sometimes I miss them and there's a patch of them over here that didn't get cut. Or, you know, we are obsessed with our appearances. You got to look, well, you should at least be neat and clean and decent looking. That's okay. But to be narcissistic, to be totally obsessed with our looks and me, me, me. It's all about you, folks. I want to help you. I want you to make it. And the only way we can do this is to cultivate the knowledge of Jesus Christ. To know about him and to know him, to study him, to do as he did, to live as he lived, to love as he loved. We can do that, can't we? I can, and I believe in you. Shall we pray? Father, we want to be more Christ-centered this year. This year, Lord, we want to do it your way. I cannot stand that song. I did it my way. I want to do it your way, Lord. Let it be according to your word and your will that we operate this year. Help us to get closer to one another. Let us be our brother's keeper. Let us mentor those that need mentoring. Let us comfort those that need comforting. Let us do for those that cannot do for themselves. Let us give a hand up, not a hand out. Let us be the best that we can be, the example that we should be, so that others could follow our example and not stumble. Oh Lord, help us to be Christians. Help us to be real. Help us, Lord, to do that which is good and pleasing in your sight. Help us not to be legalistic, but help us to love your law and help us to want to do that which is correct, to do the obedient thing. Oh Father, that we not be lazy, that we not be weary in well-doing, and that we would be looking for your soon coming, and we're praying that one day you will say to us, "Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." All this we ask and pray and believe in Jesus' name.